Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. You have asked through that famous poll that I've been talking about, your number one favorite episodes are actual love stories of people that have been through the tunnel of fire of life, done the trust fall into Smart Dating Academy, and come out the other side at all ages. You know, I always say it's really never too early to learn how to date smart. And it's certainly never, ever, ever too late how to learn this process. So today, I couldn't be more excited to have my guest, who is a dear friend and client slash former client who's now engaged, spoiler alert. So Christy Reynolds, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bella. It's so great to be here.
So Christy is incredibly humble, and you'll hear her slight little Southern twang, but this little spitfire is a badass, extraordinarily successful woman who is as beautiful inside as she is on the outside. She's the department head and Bruno Professor of Marketing at the University of Alabama. Did y'all hear that? She's the department head. So we are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It's so good to see you and get to talk about all these fun things that have been happening.
My goodness. So Christy, what year was it that we connected? Was it 2018?
It was the end of 18. Fall of 2018. That's it. Yep.
And we were connected through a common friend of ours.
Yes. Yes. Isn't it amazing that we had the mutual friends of John and Dana? Who are two fabulous people.
Extraordinary badasses, by the way. Yeah. So our friends, John Liston, Dana Suskind, who are amazing and connected Christy and me together as Christy was ready to date in a different way. So Christy, I'm going to just set the stage and tell us kind of about your life, any inflection points, kind of your marriage, what happened and how you ended up here.
Okay. Well, I knew John. John and I were professors together at the University of Central Florida a million years ago, 1995, six, seven, those years, you know, when we both left Central Florida and went our separate ways, but I always kept in touch. So it was a miracle. It was a coincidence of a lifetime that he came to visit here at Alabama and said, "Hey, well," and his wife Dana came and they said, "You need to meet Bella." So that was just one of the luckiest moments of my life. But so here I am. But yeah, so I was married for 20 years.
You
said it gets raw and
girl. You can tell us everything.
I had a great husband, Dave, and he had, if you're familiar with medical terms, it's called a glioblastoma multiforme, but basically it's a brain tumor. And so he was sick for 3.5 years and, he did so well. He had a great life before that. And then even after he got sick, he just embraced, life and did really, really well, but it's, you know, incurable disease. And we knew it was terminal. And so, he died in, November of 2016, you know, and so first 6 months, you know, I don't remember it.
It's a blur. It's an absolute blur. Yeah,
it's a blur. And, even though you know that somebody's going to die, it just doesn't prepare you for a really different life. But I did really well. First 6 months were, like I said, a little bit of a blur. But then, you know, I jumped back into work, had tons of friends and family and all of that. So, I was sad, but it was a different kind of sad when you think about somebody sad and they can't get out of the bed and they're, it was not like that. I was very sad at the loss of somebody who loved life so much. But I wasn't lonely. I'm pretty good at keeping busy and doing, even if I'm home by myself, I'm busy. I'm never bored, you know? So I love to cook, you know, lots of folks asked me to go eat dinner. And so, you know, got through the first 6 months and then they asked me to be department head at work and I was not ready for that. That's a whole other story, but anyway,
which is amazing.
Well, thank you. But it was an avalanche of information that I had to absorb and extra responsibilities and duties and that sort of thing. So that started that summer and that was about 6 months after Dave died. And so, I dove into that, really busy and, all kinds of fires to put out. I mean, so, you know, we laughed, my administrative assistants and I would just sit there and laugh in the office because if we hadn't laughed, we would have cried because there were just so many fires to put out and I was learning. I didn't know what I was doing and all that. So I go through the fall and, one of our, instructors quit teaching his classes and just stopped teaching. So I had to teach his classes and here I was new department head and you know, all this stuff. And then my mother died.
Oh.
Now, yes. So 11 months after Dave died, my mother died. Now my mother wasn't completely well in a lot of sense of that word. So it was not expected that she died, but it wasn't surprising, you know, mm-hmm. But here, that is, I have to clean out her apartment. I have to bury her and I, you know, and here it all is again and all of that. And, you know, dealing with a lot of the things that were with the situation with my mother and everything. So, so I'm doing all that. And this guy from high school shows up, literally like shows up.
How did he show up?
Well, he, before my mother died, you know, people all know football is pretty big here, right? I live
in Alabama. It is.
I live a half mile from the stadium in the downtown historic district and you can walk to the stadium. You can hear it when they score a touchdown. Dave and I used to go to all the games and all that kind of stuff. I have season tickets, but I usually just give them away or whatever now, unless we want to go. Well, and I'll get to something that is related to that later. But anyway, we like to just sit here and hang out at the house or go walk around and then come back and watch it on TV. You know, we're old now. We can't hang anymore with all the stuff in the stadium. But anyway, so he came. We were always friends, this guy. We were always friends in high school. He didn't go to the same college as I did. He went to a college about an hour away. We went to a formal one time, but never really date. We went to a dance one time in high school, but we never were boyfriend, girlfriend or anything like that. I was just friends. I had tons and tons of mutual friends over the many years in between, you know, we graduated high school 85, you know, and so this is now 2017. So over the many years in between that, lots of mutual friends. And, you know, what has brought a whole new dimension in all of this is Facebook, you know, so you feel like you know people that you knew when you were 15, because then you see them and what they're doing on Facebook now, right?
For sure.
You know, I saw him on Facebook and saw wherever he was and his family and all that. Well, he'd gotten divorced years before, I think when his kids were probably, I don't know, 12 or somewhere around those ages. Anyway, so he'd been divorced for several years, but, so he just says, "Hey, I just wanted to check on you. You know, how are you doing since Dave passed away?" And da da da. "Hey, you know, sometimes I get to Tuscaloosa. I'd love to come to the football game." That is da da da, all that kind of stuff. And so, he came up for a football game and it was just my niece came, my sister-in-law came, we tailgated, we friends, all just like everybody just having a good time as friends. He was very alluring. He was mysterious, alluring. A friend of mine used a word, and I can't remember what it is to describe him. It'll probably pop into my head in a minute, but alluring is a really good word, mysterious, that kind of thing, you know. You know, not bad looking and tall and all that kind of stuff. So I was really busy, didn't think much of it. And, you know, so we had a football weekend. He goes his merry way and I go my merry way and get back into work and all that stuff and built more football season friends coming, that sort of thing. So about 2 weeks later, my mother dies.
Oh,
well, he hightails it back up to Tuscaloosa to help me after, you know, after my mother died. My sister-in-law came. Thank God. We cleaned out my mother's apartment and then he shows up, you know, and I was in as you can imagine, probably the most vulnerable state that anybody could be in, right?
I can't. I've got full goosebumps right now. Yeah.
So husband's been dead 11 months. Mother dies. Work overload. And, you know, this very alluring, charming, seemingly wonderful, helpful, conscientious, cordial, friendly
man from the past that you went to high school with, that yes. You feel this overvalued sense of connection because yes. You've now known each other for 30 plus years. Right. So yes. He comes riding right. In back to Tuscaloosa on his white horse, probably yeah. A white donkey, but let's say at the yeah. Time it seemed like it was a white horse. So he right. Came in, you were yes. Vulnerable, basically just on your knees, Dave gone, mom gone, doing it all over again. Yes. Now yes. He shows up. Yes. Now what happens?
So he shows up. It was, my sister-in-law and I cleaned, it was Monday, we cleaned my mother's apartment at maybe Tuesday, early in that week. He shows up, my mother's funeral is Thursday. So he's there for me for that, right? And then, of course, there's another football game that weekend. So he stays for the football game and, you know, we do all that and hang out and all that kind of stuff. And I just, again, it's just, he's, you know, so charming and so seemingly wonderful and helpful and just conscientious and friendly and engaging and all those things. And I'm, you know,
He showed up.
He showed up. And it's funny. I have cats. And cats a lot of times show up. It's just funny. this happens to me a lot, but it's usually felines. But anyway, knocked me off my feet, really. But, you know, at that point, there was really nothing. But then, you know, I was in, again, this vulnerable state. So we plan to get together again, but still as friends and all that. So I'll fast forward.
So nothing happened that weekend. He comes, plays yeah. Knight in Shining Armor. I'm mm-hmm. here. And you're like, yeah. How nice. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So now, then, you know, then all the texting starts, you know, oh, I can't quit thinking about you. And I know you're busy, but you're on my mind and all these sweet things. And you're so wonderful and you're so beautiful. And you're, you know, I was redoing some things in my house and, oh, I'm so smart because I can organize people to come redo things in my house, which I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, that's really not. I mean, now looking back, like, all you gotta do is write a check, right? You know, but anyway, you know, everything that I did was just like so wonderful. My cooking was wonderful. It was wonderful that I cooked. It was wonderful that I did this. I mean, I can just go on and on and on, on and on and on.
Super complimentary, which was very alluring and seductive. Oh. you're in a place of hurt and someone sees you and is telling you all these amazing things about you. And not that you lack in any self-confidence, but like you said, you were incredibly vulnerable and sad. And at that moment, your cup is empty and somebody comes and they start feeding into your cup a spigot of verbal affirmations, attention,
texts. And so you got to think about too, you know, for the year prior, I was a widow and, you know, all I did was work. And then for 3.5 years before that, I took care of a cancer patient and a mother who had a lot of problems. You know, I remember when Dave was diagnosed, and my mom came over and Dave said to my mother, "Sherry, Christy has to take care of me now. You're going to have to straighten up." And she said, "I will, Dave. I promise I will." But, you know, she didn't. She didn't. You know, so I have given and given and given and given for so long. And not that Dave was not wonderful and told me how wonderful was like, you know, he did, but it's still, when you're taking care, when you're a caregiver of somebody with a terminal illness, and then you have a mother who has addiction problems, you don't have much to give.
You have nothing and you have a career.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So full time, more than full time job.
But, more than full time job.
Yeah. So, you know, he just, "Oh, how wonderful you were," and all that. You know, I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. You know, so the ball started rolling, and he came back, you know, the wonderful text through the 2 weeks that I didn't see him. And then he comes back for another football game. And then, you know, all that. And he gets into Thanksgiving and then Christmas and all the fun. He was actually lived away, but was trying to move back to close around where I live and in Birmingham, which is an hour away, or somewhere. He was trying, that's where his parents are. So he was trying to move back. Oh, that was the story or whatever. But anyway, so it all goes really well. And then I started having these weird, I guess I came up for air because I felt like I'd fallen off a cliff. I kept thinking that the whole time, how it was intoxicating. And I kept thinking to myself, "I just feel like I'm floating. I feel like I'm flying. I feel like I've fallen off a cliff. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster." It was intoxicating. But then it's little pieces of it going bad. It's not like there, it wasn't a monumental event of it going bad. It's little crumbs of something's not right.
Ooh, okay. What happened? So you're falling off the cliff the first couple of weeks.
And I would say on into closer, this is probably, it's October, November, and then through the holidays, and then or in the holiday, you know, closer to after New Year's. And then looking back, I remember after about 4 or 5, 6 weeks, little snide comments that I brushed away and didn't pay attention to. Yeah. Under the radar. I mean, under the radar, so far under the radar, I didn't detect them at the time.
Right, because you're so pumped up on oxytocin and you're on the roller coaster and you don't, it's like those comments, they hit us, but they get stored someplace else at that moment when we're in that chemical haze. So your system started to receive them now in retrospect, maybe 6 weeks after, which is very typical for a narcissist, right? They are fast and furious. And it takes us sometimes some smelling salts to come to. Yeah. And that can be 3 to 4 months later.
Yes. My niece, right at the beginning, was like, she couldn't be in the same room.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did she feel?
My brother said, "Oh, it's just because he's not Uncle Dave." And she's like, "Nope. That's not it. something's wrong. Yeah. She's my nephew says she has a good spidey sense.
We might have to hire her as a dating coach.
I don't know. Things just didn't add up. And then all the typical stuff that they do. It didn't get that bad with, as far as, luckily for me, according to a lot of things I've read about people, women in these kind of relationships, I got lucky. It was just a snide, some emotional stuff. And the fact that I know now that this person took, on purpose came and took advantage of me.
Wow.
How can somebody take advantage of somebody who's a widow whose mother just died? I don't understand. I don't get it. I do not get it. And under the ruse of, oh, we've known each other since we were 15, right? 14. Oh, or maybe even, I don't know, maybe it's 12. That long. Oh, that's, well, we've known each other. Yeah, yeah. It messed me up. I was messed up for a while, really messed up.
How long did it all last? So now 6 weeks in, you start to see the red flag.
Yeah,
your face is like, I'm not loving this guy.
And then I've got some friends who are really good detectives. And they, I don't know, just found things online that just made things not add up. And I'd find somebody that knew him, and that somebody I know would say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And people would just go, yeah, we know him. That was it.
Like they just were keeping their mouths shut.
Yeah,
so as your friends tried to reach out and do their due diligence and kind of investigate him, they were starting to see, people were like, I know, like, I know that guy. Why? Right. So nothing like, oh my God, what an amazing guy. When we have good things to say about somebody, if somebody says to me, oh, do you know Professor Christy Reynolds? I'd be like, oh my gosh, she is amazing. We come out with that right away. But it's like, if you say, why, keep your shovel to the ground and keep digging, because the dirt's going to get thick.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was started March. And then I just had a feeling, and then everybody else had a feeling, and it was just things didn't add up. And then I found somebody who was friends with his most recent girlfriend before me, and I got confirmation, and then there you go. So that was it.
So lying, lots of manipulation, maybe infidelity, all of the things.
Textbook.
Unreal.
Yes. Unreal. And it until this experience, I always thought that the narcissist was a mythological figure. And looking back, I probably knew some along the way, but I've never encountered anything like this. It's still mind boggling to me. But I have learned so much, and I've looked, this is loud, I run, so I have a lot of time to think. I saw signs all along the way that make sense now that I know what the definition of this personality type is. It all fits together perfectly. So.
Wow. And so now you, and that whole thing lasted 4 months, 5 months, maybe?
Yeah.
But
people are like, oh, that's not very long. No, it's enough to do collateral damage.
It's traumatizing.
It brought up all the grief from my husband and my mother, made that worse. Just every bad thing that, it was just an avalanche of awfulness culminating, from having that experience with him. And just people say there's just some things you can't explain. And I think this is one of them, but I like to be able to explain things. Like, why did that person do that? And I'm just like, how could somebody, even if you don't know them, take advantage of somebody whose husband died and then their mother died? I just can't understand it. But anyway, We never will, right? It's just like trying to understand why somebody might harm a child. We can't understand that.
Well, what we do know, the number one hallmark of a narcissist is that they lack empathy, right? And when you lack empathy, your husband and your mom died, floats off their skin. They don't care. What's in it for me?
No.
What's in it for me? And they're like vultures, right? And they look at us as prey. And from their perspective, they can say all the right things. They can pour into your cup. They will affirm you verbally, your cooking, the way you look, how amazing you are. And it's all part of the deception, ultimately. Uh-huh. It's all to make you kind of go, oh, wow, look over here, right? And one of the biggest things that we talk about in relationships is when you feel like you are falling off a cliff, when you feel like you're on a roller coaster, your whole nervous system has been activated. Good relationships feel peaceful. If you think about how you felt with Dave, probably none of these feelings ever.
No, it was we were friends for a long time. Yeah. You know, like we dated, but it was very platonic for a long time and just really got to know each other. And then it wasn't any kind of flying or falling off a cliff. Or now Dave was real fun loving. And I, you know, because he was, he just loved to have fun and he loved to do fun things and he loved to be outside and have experiences and all that. I mean, most of the time we were on a roller coaster, but it was just because we really were on a roller coaster. He loved roller coasters. You know,
it was real, not the metaphorical roller coaster.
I mean, and he was so funny and humorous that I couldn't even get mad at him because he's too funny. I mean, so it was that kind of situation. It wasn't euphoric. No. I don't ever remember. I mean, I remember being so happy and like peaceful and content, sometimes wanting to strangle him because he was a little,
childlike as our partners can be that are very fun loving. Right.
Exactly.
It's like life's a party.
Right. Woohoo. Yeah. but never like that euphoria.
No.
That euphoria. Yeah.
No.
So, you know, I don't know, but I just want to caution your listeners. It's be careful. When I read your booklet, when I first met you and y'all sent me the materials and all that, and it said the butterflies are, you're right. You are right. That's that euphoric feeling or that uneasiness or whatever. That's the sign. It is. It really is. And that doesn't mean that you're not in love with somebody or you are crazy about them. There's a difference. There really is.
There is a difference. Oh, 100%. The butterflies are anxiety. It's your body saying there's danger up ahead. Run the other way, Christy Reynolds. Take your Nikes and turn them around the other way. I don't know if you wear Nikes, but now we flashback. You pick yourself up after the nervousness. Yeah. Now, John comes down,
John and Dana.
Was he a Nobel laureate? Was he nominated?
He's everything. That he is unbelievable. Just both of them are just the power couple of the century.
Right.
So they do such incredible things and they're such nice people. So he came down. So it's coincidentally, one of his students is now one of our faculty members here, a student at Maryland.
Wow.
Faculty member, so everybody's like, John Liss is coming, you know, and I'm like, well, I've known him the longest, so you know,
exactly.
So football rolls around, you know, he comes on a football weekend, and he does his talks, and we have the lunches and all, so we set up a big tailgate. The econ department sets a big tailgate up on Friday, so I go to the tailgate, and I get to meet Dana and all that. And so they start asking me and they knew Dave, you know, we did things with them in Orlando as couples back then, we went to concerts and things like that way back at UCF, you know, so they knew Dave and all that. And they were like, well, how are you doing? Are you dating? I'm like, well, I had this really bad experience. I, in a nutshell, told them, well, you just have to meet Bella. So that was in October. And so Dana made the connection. And by then, you know, I'd been through the summer and then through the beginning of the fall, I'd gotten better. I started recovering from the bad experience. And I knew once Dana told me all about you and them really encouraging me, I knew that connecting with you was what I had to do to be able to get back out there after what happened. And so I wasn't ready to do it on my own. There's no way. Couldn't done it on my own. So I was ready to do it. And I had you and Lindsay to hold my hand and all that. So that's what did it. And it was just a blessing from God that I, that weekend with John and Dana, and then, you know, connecting me with you. And so I was coming out of it. And then that was just at that point, just a lot of hope, you know, looking forward to starting a new approach to, and you know what, the thing is back when, you know, when he showed up, I was not going to actively look to date.
Right.
So I wasn't back the year before. If I have to find any silver linings in anything, at least it got me where I knew that once I got over the hurdle, you know, of hoping not to meet another narcissist, I knew I could get back out there. So at least that's one silver lining of that. So I knew I could, you know, because when you're, I mean, Dave died when I was 49. So by then he was 50, 51, you know, dating is different now. And it's different when you're in your 50s. You know that it's going to be different, but it's so different that you can't even imagine. So anyway, that's when, you know, I flew up to Chicago and we got started on all of this. So that was, you know, such a great opportunity.
So great. And I know we really talked a lot about what red flags are of narcissists. Yes. And right, we have our booklet with all of the things and what healthy relationships should look like with trajectories and graphs, because, you know, I'm a fellow nerd, loves graphs, loves data. And so how do we follow that? Because there is a process to follow. And even when we've known healthy, lasting love, when you get back out there, you think everybody's good. You think everybody is wholesome and healthy, and especially people from the past, right? And we overvalue and overweight that sometimes. And we give people so much more, like, oh, I just want to meet somebody at my high school reunion. Well, do you really? Because it depends on who the person is. So I think one of the things that we did together was really start to separate who are the people in your life that make you happiest. And then we put together this profile of who your high GHQ guy is, high in good husband qualities. Here's your green flags. Here's your red flags. And then we did your photo shoot, and I'm going to have a page. Christy's already got a page on our website and it'll be updated, but you can see how gorgeous she is. And so we put you online. You've got a new profile. Then what happens when you get you? I think we launched you on Match, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah, you did. You did. Well, that's just, you know, it's a whole different experience. And I never had done that. Knew people who had met on Match. Actually, I know some people who are currently together, married and all that, who met on Match many years ago when it was not as ubiquitous as it is now, you know.
The Wild West.
Yes. Oh, the Wild. I call dating in your 50s the Wild West quite
often. The Wild West. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, and y'all just, I don't know, the meetings that we had and the guidance and all that just help you. The main thing is what everybody needs to know is you need to talk to people a lot. The talking, even if it's just on the phone for a really long time.
Yeah. You need to get to know somebody at their core and over time. And so Greg came into your inbox in March.
Yes. So I had gone to some lunches with some, a few other fellas, and I will tell you this, you know, and of course there's a lot of people that you guys helped me, you know,
weed out.
Because, you know, they're not, there's somebody else for them, and that's great. And I hope they're happy, but they're not right for me, or they're, you can tell that they're like a 30 year old who's saying they really like a 50 year old. And you're like, no, that's probably not, you know,
not the kind of relationship I'm looking for.
Exactly. That kind of thing. But, so, you know, I went to lunch with a lot of really every person that I either had, I had lunches and coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'd get whatever, tea or Diet Coke or whatever, but they were all so nice. Wow. Like there was not anybody who I had lunch with or coffee with who I thought, oh my gosh, what an awful monster. Like that person is not lovely. Like they were all really sweet guys, really, really sweet guys. And there was a couple of them that, just one other that I had more than one lunch coffee thing with, and very, very nice, very, very nice guy. But I don't know. I just didn't, you know, I just knew that it wasn't for me. But anyway, so Greg had been in Germany. He works for Mercedes, and he had been in Germany for a few months. And so had just returned. And so the timing really was unreal as far as when me being on there and him
just getting home.
And he said, while he's in Germany, of course he had, you know, lots of friends over there and colleagues and all that, and was busy and working and enjoying seeing the country and all that. He just had a lot of time to think, and he thought, you know, he'd been divorced from him for a year and a half or so, and said, I'm going to really try to be serious about finding a companion and that sort of thing. So, I had been, like I said, to some lunches and some coffees that were with really nice men that I knew that weren't for me. And, you know, I saw his nice photograph. One of his colleagues had taken of him in his nice suit. And I was like, oh, well, he looks like, you know, very professional. You know, so this was at the point where you guys told me it was okay for me to message them. Cause you know, there's your process or whatever. So it was
right. Like, when you're going to switch from letting them message you to when you're going to start to proactively message. Right. Yes. So you saw him and you messaged him first.
I messaged him first. Cause I loved his photograph. He just looks, it's just so professional, and like his, I don't know. It was just a very, very good, professional photograph, and he just looked like a, you know, somebody who approachable, but you know, very, I put a lot of appreciation in the effort of him, you know, having that going to the effort to make a, you know, nice professional photograph. And
he looked like a man with a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
A suit really, you know, it's nice suits are nice.
Big deal, gentlemen, yeah. When you're listening, step it up in your photos. Okay.
Yeah. None in the bathroom. No bathroom photos.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, I know. Get a friend and go outside. But anyway, we started talking and talked and talked and talked. And it's funny because, you know, the guy that showed up was somebody from high school, and my brothers after that were like, no other guys from high school. No, that's it. No more guys from high school. Greg's 4 years younger than me, so we would never have been in high school at the same time. When he was in high school, I was in college. But it's hilarious because when he asked me where I went to high school, he knew for some reason he had a premonition that I was going to say the same high school that he went to. And yes, we went to the same high school.
Oh my God. I don't even think I remembered that. That's crazy.
I know. Except we weren't there together. So I guess that my my brothers gave me a pass.
You didn't walk the halls at the same time. Fine.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. It was just really comfortable. And we talked and talked. And it turns out we have some mutual friends that we are still, he's been friends with them for a long time. I was acquaintances with them. The husband and my husband used to go get a beer together, and the wife, I knew her with several different connections in town. And so we're friendly with, and they're, good friends of ours. Now we hang out and do gatherings for birthdays and that sort of thing. So we had mutual friends, and I don't know, it was just it was a comforting, comfortable, we had fun. But no falling off cliffs, no hang gliding, no bungee jumping type, jumping out of an airplane type feelings.
No. Yeah. And what I remember about your process is a lot of the guidance was around taking it slowly.
Yeah. Yes. I cannot overemphasize talking. Talk on the phone for 4 hours if one night. And you might be cleaning your kitchen. Talk. Just get to know people. Just sit there and our first lunch, we talked for about 2 hours. We sat there and talked. It's about everything. So, and then we just kept talking. We kept talking and kept talking and kept talking. And I was like, I really like spending time with this guy. He's really enjoyable. He's really enjoyable.
And he showed up, and he was consistent and reliable and nice.
Oh, yes. Really reliable is really, he's on time. If he's, in the rare occasion that he's not, he lets you know. I mean, the narcissist, however, is not on time, makes you wait. Makes you wait and is late to go to your best friend's sister's funeral.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. On purpose.
Oh God.
Yes. You kind of know when they're not a heart surgeon, that if they can't leave work on time, that there's a reason, right?
Right, right, right. You're not saving lives.
No, not a surgeon, EMT or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, yes, consistent, reliable. You know what you're going to get. If something bad happens, they tell you, oh, this thing at work today was really awful. And I just need, I'm going to go over here for just 1 second because I had a really bad, not just some, you don't know why, right? No explanation of the silent treatment, right? That's no good.
No. The silent treatment is no good in general, right?
No.
When somebody's going to give you that in the first place and then with no explanation, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's never given me the silent treatment, but everybody has bad days, but you just tell somebody, oh my gosh, you're just not going to believe this is what happened. I've had the worst day. And if they're not their usual self, that's why. It's no mystery to solve as far as what have you done?
Right.
Person this way or
nothing.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, just, I don't know, just consistency and enjoying each other's company, having fun, trust, all those things. And it's that they're there for you. If you need somebody to take you to your colonoscopy.
Right. Yeah. And he appreciates the place that Dave will always have in your life.
Oh yeah. He knows all about Dave. Yes, he does. Yeah. He does. Yeah. And our mutual friend, this is like after our first date, and he told our mutual friend that he had gone out with me, and he said, I sat him down. I said, I just want to go ahead and tell you, that her husband who passed is, kind of a living legend when he was alive. He's a legend now, and he was probably the most popular person in town. So yeah, he knew, but he's his own person, and it doesn't, faze him. And he's very different from Dave. very different. And I know a lot of people were probably, when they first meet him, I bet people are shocked because he's so different from Dave.
He's so different. He's not the life of the party.
But he's fun and he's funny. But it's
right.
It's different. You know, nothing, neither one's better or worse than the other. It's just different. But my family loves him. My niece, thumbs up from Lucy right at the beginning. So
Lucy definitely has a good future. Lucy, if you're listening, send me your resume.
You know what? She's majoring in psychology.
Of course she is.
Yeah, she's here at Alabama and she's a sophomore and she's doing really well. So,
oh, yeah. Good for her. Wow. So mm-hmm. She's really pretty precocious with regards to her feelings about people. And you just it if you're wired. That's what put me into this in the first place. You know, everybody in my network will always tell me, you just know about people. I'm like, if there's someone I don't get a good vibe from, I don't get a good vibe from them. And I can. It's like, I would be Lucy, like, okay, and now I'm done.
Yeah.
And now I'm done. Right. And so we just, I don't know if we read energy differently, but you can see, oh, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm going to stay away from that.
She knew it immediately. It was just quite astounding. Really. She knew it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And
So we're, you know, now just, you know, 4 years later, we didn't get engaged until a few months ago. So it wasn't like we were in any hurry to do anything. You know, it's just, you have a lot of time, hopefully. And there's just no reason to rush into anything.
Take it slow. And what made you want to get engaged?
I think I always said I wasn't going to get married again.
Yeah, I know. When I saw it on Facebook, I see Christy on Facebook with a ring and I snapshotted it. I'm like, hello, congratulations. And that's how we just reconnected in the last few weeks.
Yeah. So I know. And it's funny, after we got engaged, I kept thinking of people, I need to make a list of everybody I need to tell. And then it, you know, when forgetful. Facebook.
That's what Facebook does. Facebook told us all, don't worry about it. It's all good.
Some people you like to just go ahead and tell, you know, before you put it on Facebook. But anyway, so, you know, my cousin said, I thought you weren't going to get married again. And I said, it's important to our families, and it's important to Greg, and I'm not totally, it's not like somebody's dragging me, you know, into somewhere to get married. You know, I think when I said I'm never getting married again, maybe I meant that I'm going to be really careful before I get married again. But
yeah,
it's important to our families. And, you know, Dave's mom will be 93 in March, and his parents, you know, 80 and 85, and then my family. And I just think it's important to people who, are important to me, you know?
I love that. And I love how important Dave's mom is. And she makes the top of your list and she wants to see you happy.
Yeah.
Cause you loved her son.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's not all about you, you know, because my cousin said, well, it's about everybody but the bride. And I'm like, no, you know, I'm making this choice. They're not, no one's making me do anything. I don't have to
do anything. Well, how beautiful. How amazing. I'm so happy for
you.
You guys are the cutest couple. And you guys, I'm going to put a link to Christy and Greg's page on our site. And is there any advice you'd want to give somebody who's lost someone they love, or maybe they're coming out of the narcissistic train wreck? Like, is there any kind of pearls that you'd want to give to somebody?
I think take it slow. Like you said, just really get to know somebody.
Yeah.
Really get to know somebody. I mean, I don't know if I advocate snooping, but there was some snooping that occurred that was very helpful.
Yeah.
And it was, well, it was publicly available information, you know.
Confirmed your gut.
Yeah.
Confirmed your gut.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said for a gut feeling.
Oh, 100%. And you had the guts with him. You had that gut feeling with the snide comments.
Yeah, it just took me a while because I was so emotionally damaged, or there was emotional turmoil in my life. So I did not, my brain was not going to that place yet.
You have trauma brain. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's just those things at the beginning, it's been hindsight, and it's been 5 years. So those snide comments, I actually remember.
Isn't that crazy? Five years later.
I remember.
Even in the midst of your trauma, you remember the things he said that were mean.
Little snog, but lots of little snog comments. So under the radar, that's what everybody needs to really also be aware of, is a lot of this is so under the radar.
Yeah. And you don't even know that it's happening to you until you're flat on your back.
Yeah. A lot of times I felt like I was in a movie just watching it, like some of the things that he did and said. I couldn't respond. It was like I was in a movie. I don't know. I could tell you a million examples. We could be on here for 3 more hours and I could tell you all the little teeny weeny things and not so teeny weeny things that occurred that were huge red flags.
Wow. Huge.
Yes. Wow. Like, and then I would think, am I being too demanding? And then I would ask one of my brothers, I'd say, here's a scenario. Is this weird? Yes, that is weird. You know, so have some people that you can go to who are really good gut check people.
Yeah, no, call me.
Yeah, that can say, no, that's you're not crazy. That's weird.
That's weird. Right. Yeah. And you need the truth tellers, because a lot of people are going to tell you what you want to hear. It's those people in your life that'll go like, yeah, no, that skirt mm-hmm. doesn't look good on you. You need those people.
Right.
You need those people in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, okay. So for anyone out there who's lost someone, and I'm so sorry for anyone who has, but when you first start dating, a lot of people that are even your gut check people, at first, they're going to want to be supportive, and they're not going to want to poo-poo everybody because they want you to start having fun and be happy, and they want to be supportive. So this happened to me. Some of my most honest people for just a little while thought something weird. Now, they didn't think I was going to be murdered or anything. Of course, if they thought that somebody was going to kill me, they would have told me, right? But they, for just a little bit, they went along with it before they said anything because everything I've been through.
Wow.
So, but that, you know, it didn't hurt me too much. And I, you know, I had a good time for a while. But that, I think sometimes it's, at least at first, especially if you're, if you've lost your partner, people are going to hesitate for a second before they say,
that's weird.
Not good. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
we don't like him. He creeps us out. Like, they're going to wait for a minute before they tell you that.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. People will be so reticent because they want nothing more than for you to be happy. And they don't want to add, they don't want to bring you back to the place of sadness. So they'll say what you want to hear.
And also too, though, to their defense, or in their defense, the narcissist acts real nice for a little while. So anybody, you know, it would take somebody like you or my niece who has that spidey sense to probably see it that early, because they're over and above and beyond on wonderful behavior.
Yeah. And it takes a real, it takes somebody very seasoned and who will speak the truth to you, right? You need two things, somebody that will see it and say, wolf in sheep's clothing, we're done. And that's what we do when, you know, we help Christy, even in the beginning or anybody, it's helping weed out people, just looking at their profiles, looking at their messages, listening to the things that they're saying, which are they lathering it and buttering it up too heavy, right? Grandiose gestures. And they make you feel like you're crazy. They're gaslighting you. And like you said, am I the crazy person? Am I being too picky? Am I being too needy? No. If any of that sounds like you, fill out a contact form on my website.
Yeah. And then I don't want anyone to think that, oh, that person's kind of boring. They're too quiet or.
Right.
No, because Greg compared to Dave, Greg is quiet. Now, as you know, our relationship is gone through the last 4 years and he's gotten to know my friends and family more. He's not really that quiet, but just get to know somebody and, you know, they don't have to be the life of the party. You know, sometimes you don't want the life of the party.
No. Cause sometimes life of the party comes with a lot of the trappings of a narcissist. Not always. You can have a Dave who's the life of the party, but a good stand-up mensch, a good human being that is a good partner. But it's hard to tell the wheat from the chaff sometimes. And there's no substitute for time in the dating process and getting to know somebody. And I just couldn't be happier for you and for your love and for the peace and the happiness that it's brought to you. And you have walked through the tunnel of fire, Professor Christy Reynolds, and you have been to hell and back. And I'm just so happy that you found the second lid to your pot and that he's such a cute lid and he's the man with the plan and that he came home from Germany and just kismet, all the right things at all the right time.
Really, that's true. And I love your analogy about the lid and the pot, because I like to cook, and that, you know, I love cooking utensils and cookware and all that kind of stuff. So that's very appropriate for me. So, don't write somebody off if you don't think they're exciting. If they're not exciting enough, give them a chance.
Give them a chance. Get to know them. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're looking for too much excitement, it's a dysfunctional attachment system. You're looking for someone who's going to put you on pins and needles, make you feel like you're on a roller coaster, make you feel like you're falling. And if a lot of this comes down to childhood patterning and attachment stuff, and if that is the stuff that sounds like your relationship pattern, that's so much of what we deal with. Help is out there for you. You don't have to do it alone. And I'm glad you didn't do it alone.
Me too.
Well, I'm very blessed to have people like you that have put your faith in us. So thank you. Nothing makes me happier than seeing those rings pop up on Facebook.
Well, thank you. I'm very fortunate to have met you too. I feel the same way.
Well, thank goodness, John and Dana, we're shouting you out and dedicating this episode to you, our Yentas. They match made us, and now you're match made.
That's right.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Big love to you. And I can't wait to see you and Greg in person soon.
I can't wait to see you too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.